The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. If you have any questions or would like to become a sponsor, please contact our office at 919-832-5138. And first of all, since this program is going to be broadcast on Christmas Day, let me wish all of my listeners a very, very Merry Christmas. And I hope it was a wonderful one. Now to the Reader's Digest, how to maintain your purpose in life. Start each year by writing it down anew. Your ever-changing answers may help you live longer and better. Every January for the past 20 years, I have taken a few moments to ponder the answer to the big question, what is the meaning of life? One of those enormous questions that is so important philosophically and practically in terms of how we live our lives, and yet we never stop to really think about the answer. Given that you might be able to formulate your response in less than a minute, the wisdom-to-effort ratio for this philosophical exercise could not be more advantageous. I tend to ponder such things as a creator of the Wisdom Project, a collection of writings about the wisdom of everyday life experiences. Doing this simple exercise might even help you to live longer. According to two separate studies published in 2014, one with 9,000 participants around age 65, and another with 6,000 people between 20 and 75, those who could articulate the meaning and purpose of their lives died later than those who saw their lives as aimless. It didn't seem to matter what meaning participants ascribed to their lives, whether it was personal, such as happiness, creative, such as making art, or altruistic, such as making the world a better place. It was having an answer to the question that mattered. The connection to longevity can be caused. Having purpose may help one cope with daily stress, as other research has shown. But it could also be that those who think about life's meaning are more likely to do other activities that promote good health. The reason I ask this question year after year is that my answer changes over time, which I find interesting and insightful. There is no objectively correct answer, I believe, only answers that are right for you at any given time. Great thinkers have given the question thought, so you can look to the words attributed to them for inspiration. Plato, the Greek philosopher who lived more than 2,300 years ago, concluded that only love can light that beacon for which a man must steer by when he sets out to live the better life. Russian author Leo Tolstoy wrote, "The sole meaning of life is to serve humanity." Albert Einstein put it this way, "Only a life lived for others is a life worthwhile." Martin Luther King Jr. framed the sentiment as a question. Life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? And the Dalai Lama added, if we find we cannot help others, the least we can do is desist from harming them. Others came to the same conclusion, in their own words. For instance, Scottish rugby legend Nelson Henderson put the notion poetically when he said, the true meaning of life is to plant trees under whose shade you do not expect to sit. And actor Whoopi Goldberg's meaning of life metaphor was to throw little torches out to lead people through the dark. My favorite answer, though, is the Zen-like circular reasoning attributed to writer Robert Byrne, who put it, the purpose of life is a life of purpose. Some have concluded that life's meaning is subjective. There's not one big cosmic meaning for all, author Anais Ned wrote in her diary. There is only the meaning we each give to our life, an individual meaning, an individual plot, like an individual novel, a book for each person. I agree, which is why I recommend formulating your own answer. Taking a few moments to record your response to the question, what is the meaning of life? Is the kind of simple exercise that effectively adds meaning to your life. And then I suggest answering it every year. Looking back at how your thinking has evolved and been influenced by experience tells you something more about yourself. Cumulatively, it gets you closer to a deeper self-understanding. In 1997, my answer was, the discovery, pursuit, and attainment of one's bliss, inspired by myth expert Joseph Campbell. A year later, it was to make the world a better place. In 2002, the year I got engaged, it was simply love. And the year we conceived our oldest daughter, it was the less romantic continuation of one's DNA to the next generation. But most years, an answer of some combination of love, legacy, happiness, experience, and helping others. If you do the annual meaning exercise, I suggest not looking to past answers before answering anew. I write them down on the same now yellowing piece of paper and keep it someplace safe. The last use of this experiment is to try to turn your answer into action. You conclude, as Tolstoy and Einstein did, that the meaning of life is helping others. That should help motivate you to do more of it. If love is the answer, then love more. If it's find your bliss, then get searching for it. This is not a theoretical exercise. Whatever small step you take toward finding the meaning of life is a step toward a more meaningful and longer life. Readers share what brings meaning to their life. Spreading warmth. Helping those in need. I make blankets for children's hospitals, pet blankets for animal shelters, and shawls for the elderly. Christian Lippincott, at Cascadia, Texas. Collecting memories, not stuff. Stop buying trinkets that give you momentary pleasure. Rather, make memories that will last a lifetime. Travel and visit as many places as you can. Reconnect and build friendships, and take plenty of photos along the way. Memories have given me much more long-lasting happiness than any physical object can bring. Sriram Shirdar, Raleigh, North Carolina. Building literacy. I truly believe we can change the world one person at a time, which is why I became a literacy volunteer. Nothing is more memorable than the look in the eyes of an adult when he or she reads for the first time. You know, for as long as they live, they will remember you. Charlotte de Paola, Niverville, New York. Savoring everything. The meaning of life became clear to me after watching my parents battle short illnesses and pass away a mere 6 weeks apart. My faith told me they were in a better place, but I was feeling sorry for myself and my family. I gradually came to believe that our time on this earth is short, and we never know when it will end. So while we are here, we need to live it to the fullest. Take time to sit on the deck and watch the sunset. Stay up late during the week to visit with a friend who cares if you're tired at work the next day. Use those vacation days and let the dishes sit in the sink so you can watch your kids play ball. As they say, don't sweat the small stuff. It's all small stuff. If we aren't enjoying life, then what's the point? Amy Wasson, Waucon, Iowa. Heeding unexpected wisdom. The question reminded me of the old Peanuts comic strip in which Lucy asks Charlie Brown, why do you think we're put here on Earth? And Charlie Brown says, to make others happy. Lucy then asks, what are the others put here for? Madame Amkoski, Columbus, Ohio. Empowering others. Growing up with a disability, I was subject to discrimination and what is now called bullying. All I wanted was the equal opportunity to pursue my dreams. Empowering others to pursue theirs through teaching, advocacy, and the practice of law is what brings meaning to my life. Cindy Simon, Wayne, New Jersey. Playing as a team. My husband coaches high school tennis. In a preseason conditioning run, the lone freshman, new to the team, was falling behind. One of the older boys left his spot with the pack to go back and run with the new boy, encourage him not to give up. To me, the meaning of life includes exactly this, eyes that see those falling behind and hearts motivated to do something about it. Jenna Filburn, Goshen, Indiana. Remembering all God's creatures. Every day I try to do something for someone, whether a human or animal. Take spiders outside to their natural habitat. Rescue stray dogs. Tell someone they are beautiful or worthy. Coax a turtle to water. Hold the hand of a dying person. Plant flowers and trees. Take care of the environment. Honor people of other cultures. Try to be caring. Annette Thomas, Clarkston, Michigan. Cherishing connections. First, we are someone's child. Then a sibling, a friend, a spouse, a parent. Who we are to others defines us and gives us the meaning of life. Marie Bray, South England, Connecticut. Ending up in the right place. It is simple. Life is a test to determine where you will spend eternity. Ron Jostes, Baldwin, Missouri. Using your talent. Ask yourself, what do I most like to do? That's what you do best. I found my meaning when a cow moose ran through our yard. My husband snapped a picture and I submitted to the local newspaper with a caption, Can you do more? The publisher responded, For more than 30 years I've written columns, feature stories, news items, and two books. At age 95, that's not a misprint, I'm still writing and using the gifts God gave me. Try using yours. You'll learn the true meaning of life. So will the lives you touch. Betty Stark's case, Rivington, Wyoming. That sounds like an interesting lady. Finding joy in the present. I have spent many years trying to figure this out. I went through life never thinking of the future or where my life might lead me. Now I finally know that it is important and the meaning of life. Remember your blessings every day. Be nice. Take care of each other. Too bad it took 62 years to figure this out. Christy Schmidt, Shingle Springs, California. Be a caring partner. My wife and I were having the usual tense discussions about fair division of labor at home. Then one day at church, the sermon was about the hidden value of service to others. I challenged myself to serve my wife every day for a month and see what happened. For a month, I never walked by something that could be done. I just picked it up, put it away, emptied the dishwasher, took out the trash. No thinking about whose turn it was or who made the mess. At the end of the month, I found that our life was happier, more contented, more intimate. I kept it up and won more than the lottery. We have been married 30 years and look forward to many more. Daniel Townsend, Hayward, California. News from the world of medicine. And the picture to introduce this article shows one of these packaging where you press the pill to pop it out the back, except the pills are actually globes. Early diners are healthier. A study of more than 4,000 men and women in Spain found that people who ate their evening meal before 9 p.m. or at least 2 hours before going to bed had a 20% lower risk of breast or prostate cancer than those who ate after 10 p.m. or went to bed soon after eating. These cancers may be bolstered by disruption to the biological clock, and meal timing impacts sleep cycles. More research needs to be done to confirm the link, but it's worth noting that studies have already shown that eating dinner earlier can help you maintain a healthy weight and sleep better. A blood test that may warn of Alzheimer's sooner. The only way to catch Alzheimer's early, allowing treatment to slow the progression of symptoms, is through expensive imaging or invasive tests. Now researchers have developed a blood test that they hope will spot the amyloid beta that forms brain plaque, a hallmark of the disease. Working with archived blood that had been collected between July 2000 and December 2002 from participants in a study of adults aged 50 to 75, they compared samples from 65 people who were later diagnosed with Alzheimer's to more than 800 controls. The new test correctly identified those with the disease in almost 70% of the cases, and it would have done so as many as 8 years before they received their diagnosis using the current tests. Treat glaucoma while you sleep. Scientists have long known that cannabigerolic acid, a compound from the cannabis, a.k.a. marijuana, plant, can relieve glaucoma symptoms. But the key elements don't easily dissolve and therefore can't be turned into effective eye drops. Researchers at the University of British Columbia may have solved that problem with a compound called hydrogel. The hydrogel is administered as drops that then form a sort of lens upon contact with the eye, allowing the cannabigerolic acid to dissolve during the night and penetrate the cornea. In pig corneas, which are similar to human corneas, the gel was absorbed quickly. The next step is to test the gel in human eyes. That's cool. Sensitive toothpaste isn't enough. Many toothpastes claim to treat sensitive teeth, but research recently found they don't help much. A tooth grows sensitive when its protective enamel erodes, exposing dentin, a layer with tubules that lead to the nerves. The researchers tested 9 anti-erosive and/or desensitizing products and found that they all caused enamel wear, just like regular toothpaste. Some desensitive toothpaste might help to block pain, but you'll likely also need to see your dentist for other treatment options. The 16.8 diet works. In a small study, researchers at the University of Illinois at Chicago recruited 23 obese participants to spend 12 weeks following a type of intermittent fasting called 16-8 diet. In the 8 hours between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m., participants eat as much as they wanted of any food. However, for the remaining 60 hours of the day, they were allowed to have only water and other calorie-free drinks. Compared with the control group, the 16-8 dieters consumed an average of 300 fewer calories per day, lost 3% of their weight, and saw a significant drop in their systolic blood pressure. The one reason may simply be that the 16-8 diet is easier for most people to maintain than other types of intermittent fasting. How spirituality may de-stress your brain. A spiritual experience can do wonders for your soul, but does it help your brain? To find out, researchers from the Specialty Mind-Body Institute at the Teachers College of Columbia University and the Yale University School of Medicine hooked 27 young, healthy subjects to a functional magnetic resonance imaging, fMRI machine, to scan their brains while they recalled a personal spiritual experience. What's that? It depends. One participant thought about having a two-ray relationship with a higher power, while another focused on being in a zone of intense physical activity. The subject's experiences may have been different, but their brains responded the same way. The regions associated with emotion, sensory processing, and awareness of themselves as distinct from others were all less active. In other words, being in a spiritual state calmed and enlivened them while increasing their sense of connectedness. Another telling finding: past studies on spirituality and the brain enlisted overly religious subjects such as Carmelite nuns, but participants in this study defined their own spiritual situations. It seems that anyone, even non-religious folks, can experience some transcendence and the brain benefits that come with it. Overhead light kills the flu. A new study has found that continuing low doses of spectrum of UV light, called far UVC, can kill airborne flu viruses without harming human tissue. Though it's not a spectrum found in standard fluorescent or incandescent bulbs, far UVC light in hospitals, schools, and other public spaces could one day provide a powerful check on seasonal flu epidemics. Antibiotics may foster kidney stones. A study examined more than 280,000 UK patients' records suggest that people who took five common types of oral antibiotics, sulfas, broad-spectrum penicillins, fluoroquinolones, cephalosporins, and nitrofurantoin, methionine, had a greater chance of developing kidney stones within a year. A life well lived. Passed from one home to the next, a box of ornaments reminds a family of the bonds around them, the gift of a great neighbor. My kids sit in Jean's living room and reverently lift antique Christmas ornaments out of a well-loved cardboard box. They gasp when they discover a tiny stuffed cat. They giggle at Raggedy Ann, who is a foreign character to them. G stands beside them, quietly explaining each treasure. She tells me that she and Tom built their ornament collection piece by piece during each year's after-Christmas sale. She smiles as we leave with the box. Her precious heirlooms, gathered over a lifetime, have found a new home. We first met Tom and G in the early days of our marriage. Someone had been returning our garbage cans to the garage each garbage day, and Jim and I had wondered who. Then one day we spotted him, an elderly man who lived across the street. I baked cookies and left them on a stool outside the garage with a thank you note. When we got home from work that day, a typed letter had replaced the gift. The letter was from Tom, and explained how he had come to walk the neighborhood on garbage day, returning cans for people he barely knew. Back when he'd been fighting a war and I wasn't alive to see, his young wife, G, had found herself living alone. Neighbors had taken the time to handle her garbage can so she didn't have to, and she never forgot. Now he paid it forward by doing the same for all of us. It was also his way of sneaking a smoke when G wasn't looking. A few years after we'd moved in, Tom died. We photocopied that letter and attached it to one of our own for G. We told her how special Tom had been for us, how we grieved for her, how thankful we were to have known him, and the inadequate words that come with condolence. She wrote back and told us she still talked to Tom every day. When she invited us over to look through the Christmas ornaments, I realized how hard it must be to part with that box, a piece of Tom. These days we're piling up boxes of our own. We're planning a move. The house that seemed so huge 6 years ago is filled to capacity with furniture and books and toys and, of course, people. We know it's time to go, and yet we can't seem to stick the for sale sign up on the lawn. Gaining a third bedroom and maybe an office sometimes seems like a lousy trade for all we stand to lose. It's not just G. It's a man who lets our kids pick peaches off the tree in his front yard. It's the ladies who call Jim when their pool filter breaks and leave overflowing baskets for our kids on Easter. It's the corrections officer directly across from us who smiles and waves and makes me feel a little safe when Jim is away. The moving boxes are still neatly packed in our basement, but Jim and I agree to wait until January. This Christmas we'll decorate our tree with G's ornaments out of the box that is labeled in Tom's handwriting. Maybe I'll talk to him just as G still does. Thank you, I'll say, for teaching us what it means to be a neighbor. Nicole Burrell is a Reader's Digest reader from northern New Jersey. In the line of fire, Jerry Parr, a Secret Service agent who helped save President Ronald Reagan's life during a 1981 assassination attempt, was inspired to join the Secret Service after seeing the movie The Code of the Secret Service. The film's star, Ronald Reagan. And we are going to switch now to Consumer Reports. Unfortunately, this time of year, the Reader's Digest does a December and January issue, which means that there's not as much material to read over a two-month period of time, particularly since January is a five-week month, or a five-Tuesday month when we record this. So what I'm going to do is cut these Reader's Digest 5 or 6 minutes shorter than usual and go ahead and do Consumer Reports, because I have plenty of Consumer Reports. Do more with your phablet. Bigger is better, right? That seems to be the thinking of everything these days, from houses to burgers, and now smartphones. Phablets, an industry term CR defines for phones with a 5.5-inch screen or larger, measured diagonally, are a growing trend among consumers. Industry analyst IDC says global sales of smartphones with displays of 5.5 inches and larger jumped 51% to 941.6 million units this year. That equates to nearly 65% of all smartphones sold. Phablets are probably on the rise because more people are using their phones to watch TV, share photos, and multitask by running more than one application at a time. All activities that benefit from ample screen face. The drawbacks, however, are that bigger screens tend to be a little less durable in our drop tests and might not fit easily in your pocket. Currently, the largest phone screen we're testing is the iPhone XS Max, introduced by Apple in September. This new iPhone, which performed well in our lab test, features a 6.5-inch screen and is Apple's largest phone screen to date. That's not far off from some of the smallest tablets we test, which have 6.9-inch screens. The largest tablets we test, at almost 13 inches, are still double the size of most phablets. Interested in going big? These are some of the best-scoring phablets in our test models that combine clever features and top-notch performance with giant screens at a range of prices. Samsung Galaxy Note 9 for $1,000. The screen size is 6.4 inches. It's got an 83 on their numerical score. With its large rectangular shape and handy stylus, this is the most tablet-like phone we've tested. You can use the built-in stylus to write notes or doodle on its sharp display. Apple iPhone XS Max for $1,100, screen size 6.5 inches, scored an 82. The XS Max screen is more than a half inch larger than the one its predecessor, the X. Second overall in our ratings, the Max also has the highest rated camera we've tested yet. The Huawei Mate 10 Pro 550, screen size 6 inches, scored a 78. This phone scores big points for its beautiful OLED display, which is taller and skinnier than many models, so it's easier to hold. Plus, it comes with a plastic case for extra protection. The LG V35 Thin Q at $900 has a screen size of 6 inches, and it scored 77. A good all-around performer for phablet fans, the V35 got top marks for battery life, lasting 27 hours, a significant stretch longer than other LG phablets we've tested. 100 calories look like holiday cookies. Between cookie swaps and holiday parties, it's a small wonder we don't all sport Santa-sized bellies this time of year. But being aware of calories and portion size can help you win the battle of the bulge, says Amy Keating, registered dietitian and a CR dietitian. Uses our guide and go to cr.org/cookies1218 for more. 3 1/10 Pepperidge Farm Ginger 3 1/10 Pepperidge Farm Ginger Man. 1 4/5 Pillsbury ready-to-bake sugar cookies. I assume that's if you slice them the same thing. 1 2/5 Nabisco Winter Oreos. 4 1/2 Walker's Mini Shortbread Christmas Trees. And 2 1/2 Balzeri Fufenus. That's P-F-E-F-F-E-R-N-U-S-S-S-E with an umlaut over the U's. Balzen Fufenus. Oh, then we get to the nasty recall page. Ford vehicles. Ford is recalling about 2,200,015 to 2018 F-150 regular cab and Super Crew cab vehicles because the front seat belt pretensioners can generate excessive sparks when they deploy, which can ignite and cause a fire. The vehicles include the recall were built at the Dearborn Assembly Plant from March 12, 2014 through August 23, 2018, and at the Kansas City Assembly Plant from August 20, 2014 through August 23, 2018. What to do? Dealers will make necessary modifications to the interior at no cost to owners. Call Ford at 1-800-392-3673 or go to Ford.com for details. Toyota vehicles. Toyota is recalling about 807,210 to 2014 model year Prius and 2012 to 2014 Prius V vehicles in the U.S. because in some situations the car may not enter fail-safe driving mode as intended, and you could lose power and stall. This recall is a remedy for a new condition in vehicles that were involved in previous recalls for other issues in February 2014 and July 2015. What to do? When a software update is available, Toyota dealers will update it free of charge. Call Toyota at 800-331-4331 or go to toyota.com/recall for details. Rubber toys. BSN Sports is recalling about 31,200 rubber toys because paint on them contains level of lead that exceeds the federal lead paint ban. And they have a picture here of a purple octopus with different colored feet. Lead is toxic if ingested by young children. The toys were sold in catalogs and online from February 2017 through June 2018 for about $10 for a single toy and up to $145 for a set. What to do? Take the toys away from children and call BSN Sport at 888-847-8816 or go to bsnsports.com to get a merchandise credit. Pet supplies. PetSmart is recalling about 23,000 all living things strip lights for reptile cages because the fluorescent bulb could overheat, causing the hood on the fixture to ignite, posing a fire hazard. The lights were sold at PetSmart stores from March 2017 through July 2018 for about $35, and the 20-inch version and $40 for the 30-inch version. What to do? Stop using the fixture and return to any PetSmart store for a full refund. Call PetSmart at 888-839-9638 or go to PetSmart.com for details. Wet-dry vacuums. Emerson Tool Company is recalling about 208,000 Rigid NXT models HD06000 6-gallon and HD09000 9-gallon wet-dry vacs because the on-off switch can dislodge and expose wiring that poses a shock hazard. The vacs were sold at Home Depot stores and website from March 2018 through July 2018 for about $50 for the 6-gallon model and about $60 for the 9-gallon. What to do? Stop using the vac and contact Emerson Tool Company at 888-847-8718 or go to emerson.com/en-us/commercial-residential/Emerson Tool Company to get a free replacement power head assembly. Bistro chairs. Jimco is calling about 16,000 outdoor folding bistro chairs because the seat can break and pose a fall hazard. The chairs were sold at TJ Maxx and Marshall's as individual chairs from January 2018 through June 2018 for about $20, and as a set at Home Goods and Sierra Trading Post from January 2018 through June 2018 for about $130. What to do? Immediately stop using the chairs and go to jimcolamp.com, that's J-I-M-C-O-L-A-M-P.com, for return details and a full refund. Ranges and wall ovens. Prizer Painter Stoveworks is recalling about 7,100 Blue Star and Big Chill gas ranges and wall ovens because the convection fan during preheating or broiling can cause accumulated gas to ignite and pose a burn hazard when the oven door is opened. The ranges and ovens were sold at specialty appliance stores and kitchen equipment dealers from May 2015 through October 2017 for $3,300 to $18,100? Whoa! For a complete list of models, go to BlueStarCooking.com or BigJill.com. What to do? Keep the convection fan turned off and contact Prizer Painter Stoveworks, 800-449-8691, to schedule a free repair. They ought to bring it in a doggone Cadillac at that price. $18,000 for a range. Wow. Boy Scout uniforms. Boy Scouts of America is recalling about 110,000 neckerchief slides because they contain levels of lead that exceed the federal lead content ban. Lead is toxic if ingested by young children. The slides were sold to BSA retail stores online from February 2018 through August 2018 for about $6. What to do? For specific model details, call BSA at 800-323-0736 or go to scoutshop.org. Stop using the slide and return to any BSA retail store for a free, non-lead-loaded replacement. Insect Zapper. Kaz is recalling about 72,000 Stinger BK series insect zappers because the insect kill grid can detach and pose a shock hazard. The zappers were sold in stores and online from April 2018 through August 2018 for $30 to $80. What to do? Unplug the zapper and contact Kaz to return it for a full refund. For specific model numbers included in the recall, call Kaz at 888-480-2880. Or go to Kaz.com or StingerProducts.com. Product update, the latest rating from our labs. What's on your countertop? Units in millions sold over the past 12 months. 14.5 million microwaves, 12.8 toasters, 12.6 slow cookers, and 6.5 million toaster ovens. Inside Consumer Reports Lab. Technician, it shows a picture of a young man sliding, it looks like a piece of beef, into a microwave. It looks like my microwave, actually. And it says the technician, Kyle Nyang, removes ground beef from a microwave during our test for defrosting evenness. The once-and-future microwave. This modest appliance continued to earn its keep as a hard-working kitchen necessity. But new models have more power and additional features. Woo! Microwaves have been a staple of American kitchens since the mid-1980s, and for good reason. They offer quick and easy meal prep and speedy reheating of leftovers and coffee. But with so many cooking appliances vying for counter space, rice cooker, air fryer, grill, oh my, what is microwave still best for? And if you're in the market for a new one, how do you pick the right model for your needs? What did we do before microwaves? I can't believe it. Consumer Reports evaluates microwaves based on how fast and evenly they heat. Our speed rating is based on how quickly a microwave heats a liter of room temperature water. To test the defrost function, we use a microwave's auto defrost setting for a pound of frozen ground beef. After running defrost, we quickly separate and weigh the portions that are cooked, defrosted, and still frozen. We also test to see how thoroughly each model pops a bag of popcorn. All of this data and more informs our ratings. Bigger tends to be better when it comes to microwaves. CR's labs have found that as a group, small microwaves, about 700 watts, don't perform well. Most earn a rating of poor for heating a bowl of water. For this reason, there are no small microwaves that we recommend. Mid-sized microwaves, generally about 1,000 watts, fare much better and are a right choice for many households. About 2 feet wide, 1 foot tall, and 16 or so inches deep, our high-scoring mid-sized models are great at reheating a meal for two, have simple buttons for popcorn, and are quick with heating a cup of tea. But some of the better mid-sized models are still not zippy enough to earn top scores of large microwaves. Most of them are between 1,100 and 1,250 watts. So if you have the counter depth and want the best performance there is, you should consider a large microwave, about 6 inches deeper than the mid-sized ones. about the same size as midsize, but usually comparable in width and height. Sorry about that. There was a blurb in the page turning here. Large microwaves are generally more powerful and faster. Some are big enough to fit a 9x15-inch baking dish. That's a whole lot of lasagna. For those who use a microwave to feed a family, a large oven one makes sense. And in a space without a conventional oven, such as a guest suite, a large microwave can cover most of the cooking territory. Some microwaves have the technology to air fry or grill, but most models with these capabilities don't receive top scores as a microwave in our ratings. CR engineer Larry Cuifo isn't surprised. The way microwaves are designed and the way air fryers are designed are very different, he says. He advises consumers to buy appliances tailored to their cooking needs. If your kitchen accommodates an over-the-range microwave, you probably know the advantages. These models don't eat up precious real estate on your counter and can help vent air when you're cooking on the stove. In terms of power, they're comparable to large countertop microwaves. They generally measure 30 inches wide to fit neatly above your range. Some can accommodate a 9x15-inch baking pan, so you can expect to warm up a large meal in no time. How to shop smarter. The path to microwave happiness is to bear in mind how you plan to use the appliance most often, and choose a model that would do that best. Don't be distracted by functions that look like fun but you'll never use, especially because you'll pay more for them. For example, according to our member survey, only 60% of the people who own a microwave with a popcorn button use the function at least weekly, and only 15% with a speed cook function use it weekly or more often. Make sure it brings the heat. One of the most important tests in CR's microwave labs is for heating evenness. We'll need to check this rating in our column, in our charts column, the column in our charts, to ensure that a microwave will do its primary job well. According to our survey, 98% of members use their microwave for reheating at least weekly. All models come with buttons for adjusting power levels or the percentage of power used to heat food or drinks. So as you get to know your appliance, you can change the settings to your preference. Size up shortcuts. Shortcut buttons are labeled for particular foods, pizza, popcorn, etc., with preset cook times. Reheat buttons are sometimes backed by sensors that stop the heat so that it doesn't overcook your food. In this way, they eliminate guesswork and can make your life easier. Take control of the controls. If the control buttons are confusing, you could be setting yourself up for a world of frustration. We factor into our ratings how easy it is to program a microwave and whether the model has a smart, well-designed set of quick keys. And for those who don't want to use keypads as much, Alexa-enabled microwaves, which allow you to call out commands, are on the way. CR has tested one model and will test others when they're available. Have a close encounter. Some manufacturers have redesigned the touchpad on certain microwaves, often at expense of ease of use. Once you've narrowed down your options, it's wise to find them at a retailer near you and play around with them. Seeing microwaves in a store rather than online also gives you a real-world sense of size. Dimensions on paper are one thing, but assessing a countertop cube in person and fully understand how much surface area it will occupy is a total different game. Microwave safety tips. Most people know not to put metals or aluminum foil in a microwave to avoid sparking and fire risk, but it's also smart to keep the following objects out, too. Non-metal sharp objects. Sharp objects that aren't metal, such as toothpicks, can set off a phenomenon known as arcing, sparks flying inside a microwave. I never do that. Kitchen sponges. Heat can kill the bacteria in sponges, but a quick microwave zap is unlikely to kill all of them. Worse, the bacteria that survive will become a heat resistant and possibly more harmful. Your best bet is to toss an old sponge outright. Eggs in the shell. They can explode in a microwave or after you've removed them. The sound is quite loud, and hot flying bits can sting. Over-the-range microwaves. What's reliable? CR's recent survey on over-the-range microwaves includes data on more than 33,000 new units purchased by members. We used it to calculate our ratings for predicted reliability and owner satisfaction. At the top of the list for predicted reliability is IKEA, manufactured by Whirlpool, earning an excellent rating with Frigidaire, Hotpoint, and Whirlpool all rated very good. Samsung was the only brand to get a poor rating. Electrolux, Jennair, and Magic Chef scored a fair. When it comes to owner satisfaction, a measure of how likely CR members are to recommend their over-the-range microwave to family and friends, Bosch, LG, and Sharp all rate very good. And here's the product reliability rating. The best is IKEA, the next three are Whirlpool, Frigidaire, and Hotpoint, followed by Amana, Bosch, GE, KitchenAid, LG, Maytag, and Sharp. And the bottom four are Electrolux, Genmar, Magic Chef, and the worst one is Samsung. Should you zap it or toast it? In this corner, we have the microwave, which works by agitating water, sugar, and fat molecules to prepare food, and is known for its speed. It's especially effective at heating food that has a lot of liquid in it, and it works well for steaming. In the opposite corner is the toaster oven, with hot coils that heat the external part of food first. It's like a mini version of your main oven, meaning it's good at crisping and baking. Better in a microwave, popcorn, reheated noodles or rice dishes, steamed fish, steamed vegetables, reheated stews and soup. Better in a toaster oven, small batches of cookies, reheated food with a crust, egg rolls and pizza, baked fish, roasted vegetables, and baked potatoes. The microwave matchmaker. We highly rated these tested models for their unique features to help you start your search. Countertop, Panasonic NNSN for $165. This big boy can accommodate a 9x15 baking dish, which means it can easily reheat a family-sized lasagna or casserole. It earns a rating of excellent in our speed of heating test and has a doneness sensor that prevents overcooking. We also appreciate that it's fairly quiet, that its controls are easy to use. We think its size, price, and strong performance make it a triple threat. Sleek design, mid-sized, LG NeoChef LMC, $160. If minimalist good looks matter to you, this model with its pared-down control panel will make you purr. It has 10 power levels and 7 auto-cook options. It also features something called smart diagnosis. If something is wrong, call LG, and when instructed, hold your smartphone up to the microwave to ping the computer's company service center, which will run a diagnostic test over the phone. Nice price and easy to use, mid-sized. The Danby DMW at $90. Sporting a control panel that's easy to program, thanks to very legible buttons, this Danby is a good low-cost microwave that can still do a decent job. It receives a rating of only good in our heating evenness test, how well a microwave can heat a dish of mashed potatoes through to the center. But if all you're using it for is to zap your coffee, make popcorn, or reheat a slice of pizza, this might be a good choice at a great price. Versatile placement, mid-size, the Panasonic NN, $200. This model packs the power you need for reheating food. It earns a rating of excellent in our defrosting and speed of heating test, but it doesn't come with a sensor. It earns a very good rating in our heating evenness test. Panasonic sells a trim kit that allows you to mount this microwave to a wall or inside a cabinet if you're short on counter space. The strong silent type for over the range. The GE JMV, $250. This strong and quiet performer is especially notable because it's tough to find an over the range model for this price. It earns a rating of very good for heating evenness, an important test. GE over-the-range models earn a rating of good for predictable reliability. They're middling for their estimated breakage rate by the end of the fifth year of ownership. This model doesn't have a sensor, so you'll be fiddling with timing till you get used to it. And keeping a low profile is the Whirlpool MWML550. That's $405. Sleek and squat, this over-the-range Whirlpool microwave is above average in our ratings. Its shape is unique. If you prefer more space between your range and microwave, this model might work because it's only about 11 inches high. It earns an excellent rating for venting and airflow, but only a good for heating evenness, so it isn't the best of getting dishes uniformly warm. Whirlpool microwaves have a rating of very good in our predicted reliability survey. A microwave's ability to heat food evenly is critical, whether the appliance is used primarily to warm up leftovers or to defrost frozen food. To test the evenness of heating, Consumer Reports testers put a bowl of cold mashed potatoes in a microwave, heat it for 10 minutes, and take the temperature of the potatoes in 20 different spots. With the help of thermocouples, and they have a picture here of a big plastic plate with a bunch of thermocouples stuck through it. We use mashed potatoes because as a food, they're uniform throughout, says Kwa Nang, a technician. We can control the amount of liquid in the mixture and get consistent test results. Other microwave lab tests included heating water for 5 minutes to see at what temperature it reaches, using a decibel meter 3 feet from each microwave to measure noise levels, and making popcorn. Our technicians check for thoroughness by weighing the number of unpopped kernels. And here's the ranking of over-the-range microwaves and the cost. I won't go into all the tiny details about them. The Whirlpool WMH was $370. The KitchenAid KMH is $585. The GE, which we spoke about earlier, is $250. The LG is also is $350. The LGA 203. The LGA 223 is $400. The Vigiday Professional is $560. The Kenmore is $300. And the Kenmore Elite is $440. And those are the top ratings. The large countertop microwaves, the Panasonic The Panasonic NNSE is $290. The GE Profile is $280. The Panasonic NNSD is $250. The GE JES is $250. The Panasonic NNSN is $250. The Panasonic NNSD is $215. Those are the top six rated for the large countertop microwave. The mid-size countertop microwaves, there's only three that are top-rated. The LG NeoChef at $160, the Panasonic Genius Prestige at $180, and the Panasonic NNSA at $200. There's a couple more. The GE is at $310, the Summit is $250. Your Airline Travel Survival Guide. With fees multiplying and tempers flaring, learn how to strike deep discounts, get the best seat for your money, avoid nasty surprises, and increase your comfort and more. And there's a picture of an airplane here, and it shows the different seating. The priciest coach option, Enhanced Economy, offers extra space, a seat often near the front of the plane, and other pluses and perks. Standard Economy costs more than basic, but you can choose your seat free of charge, and change travel plans for a fee. The most restrictive is the basic economy. Is a use it or you lose it, and comes with few amenities. In September, American Airlines began service from Miami to Los Angeles, a flight of just under 6 hours on its Boeing 737 MAX aircraft. The plane is a feat of aviation engineering that Boeing says is 14% more fuel efficient and travels 600 nautical miles farther than the earlier versions of the 737. It is also one of the most recent examples of how cramped air travel has become. It carries 12 more passengers for a total of 172 than American's other 737s, all of them shoehorned in by moving the seats closer together in all classes and shrinking the bathroom so much that some people have reported difficulty turning around in them or washing their hands without getting soaked. Even carry-on bags are getting less room. Alaska Airlines reduced the size of bags as allows on board by 32% in June, and certain airlines won't allow you to bring carry-on at all unless you pay a fee. But it's not just irritations such as small bathrooms and vacuum-packed seating that make modern-day air travel so unpleasant. Planes today take off 85% full, according to the Department of Transportation. So there's plenty of competition for space and overhead bins, and little chance you'll end up next to an empty seat. And as anyone who has purchased a ticket online knows, the price you wind up paying can bear little resemblance to the one that lured you in, once the numerous ancillary fees and other additional charges are factored in. Flying wasn't always so frustrating. Many of us fondly remember the days before deregulation, when the fare was the fare and the airlines battled for our business by trying to out-pamper us. But with low-cost, no-frills carriers such as Allegiant, Frontier, and Spirit, nibbling away at the market share of giants such as American, Delta, and United, these legacy airlines followed the lead of their low-cost competitors and began charging for niceties that were once included, such as allowing passengers to choose their seats or to carry on a bag. They became ruthlessly focused on cost reduction, says Samuel Engel, an analyst who heads the aviation group at consulting company ICF. In their most recent gambit to attract cost-conscious flyers and increase profits, the major characters have carved an economy class up into three tiers. Basic economy, a bare-bones, highly restricted fare. Standard economy, and an enhanced economy experience, which comes with more legroom and other enticements. This move has left travelers with more choice and more confusion. The wrong rock-bottom fares may look like a great deal at first glance, but they're less appealing once consumers understand that they come loaded with restrictions. Similarly, airlines offer enticements such as early boarding, extra legroom, and the ability to check a bag, all for a price. When you tally up the cost of all the extras, a fare that originally looked like a good deal can quickly turn out to not to be. The airline industry has deliberately made comparison shopping and booking as confusing as it can, says William McGee, an airline travel advisor for Consumers Union, the Advocate Division of Consumer Reports. Such opaque pricing makes it easier for the airlines to impose more and higher fees and to increase base fares as well. The following five tips, along with our airline luggage ratings, will arm you with the strategies you need to cut through all the confusion and get to the most value for your travel dollar. We'll even show you how to pack your carry-on bag like a pro. Bon voyage! Number one, know how to navigate the new economy class. There used to be just three choices when booking a seat on a major airline: coach, business, and first class. Now that American, Delta, and United have created new fare options to remain competitive with low-cost carriers, travelers on these airlines have three options in coach alone. At the cheapest end of the spectrum, bare-bones basic economy fares are available on many domestic routes and are expanding to international ones. Alaska Airlines and JetBlue have announced that they will also be adding basic economy fares. Although it might save you money, basic economy is the most restrictive fare. It is non-refundable and non-changeable. If you're unable to use the ticket, you lose its entire value. You can't choose your seat when booking, you have to wait to board, and on United you can't take a carry-on bag. If you arrive at the gate with one, it will be checked for you and be charged a fee of at least $30 per bag, plus $25 per bag for having done at the gate. Basic economy seats are often the same size and offer the same legroom as standard economy seats. Basic economy ticket might not be such a bargain when you consider the perks you don't get and the ones you could end up paying for separately. The airlines are using these fares to attract price-sensitive consumers, and they get them to pay far more than they intended in additional fees when they see just how few amenities are offered with basic economy ticket, McGee says. Until airlines become more transparent about their pricing, consumers have to be diligent with comparison shopping. The next tier, called Economy on United and Main Cabin on Delta and American, is less restricted. These fares usually entitle you to choose your seat at the time of booking, take a carry-on, board in the middle of the pack, and make itinerary changes or apply the value of an unused ticket toward a future travel for a fee. The Enhanced Economy category, which also goes by different names on different carriers, offers seats with a few inches more legroom, closer to the front of the plane for faster deplaning, or in exit rows. Other perks can vary. You may get complimentary alcohol. Priority boarding is included on Delta. On United, you can be among the first to board for a fee starting at $15. American charges a fee of $9 to $74 for that privilege. To help you determine which tier of coach is the right one for you, consider these questions. Do you hate being squeezed? If a tight seat is torture on even the shortest trip, Enhanced Economy may be worth the added cost for the extra legroom and more generous recline it provides. Prices vary, but we found that you could spend around $200 or more over Basic Economy, depending on your route and when you bought your ticket. How important is it for you to sit next to a window or on the aisle? In general, Basic Economy tickets don't allow you to select seats when you book, so you could very well end up in one of the dreaded middle seats. United allows Basic Economy ticket holders to pay a fee, starting at $5, to elect a seat on certain flights. You're effectively leaving your seat selection to a chance with a Basic Economy ticket. So if seat location matters a great deal in you, this might not be the best choice. Are you traveling with children? Because Basic Economy tickets don't usually allow you to select seats when you book, they can prevent challenges for people who want to be seated together, particularly for parents traveling with young children. An American Airlines spokesperson told CR that the airline has automated tools to seat children with family member. A Delta spokesperson says the airline works with customers on a case-by-case basis and encourages anyone with questions about seating to call Delta reservations. United refers to Airlines for America, an industry trade group. Every effort is made to make sure families sit together, says Allison McAfee, Airlines for America's Managing Director of Communications. But many variables contribute to individual cases, specifically how far in advance a booking was made and how many seats are needed together, McAfee says. This is not just some convenience issue, says Consumer Unions McGee. It's about safety, and it should not be treated by the airlines as yet another opportunity to nickel and dime passengers, he says. The DOT website notes that basic economy tickets may not meet the needs of families with young children. If you're flying with your family and need to sit together, you may want to avoid basic economy entirely and book seats in standard economy. It's more expensive, but the peace of mind it provides may be worth it. Do you carry an airline-branded credit card? These cards can offer flyers perks such as free check bag and priority boarding. More on that later. But read the fine print. Basic economy ticket holders are often ineligible for upgrades. Choose the best seat at the best price. Before you pay more for a so-called preferred seat, research all the available options. In some cases, the cheaper seats on a plane could be as comfortable as, or better located, those the airlines charge extra for, says Tracy Stewart, editor of Airfar Watchdog. More expensive seats could have a misaligned window, meaning you'll have no view of the clouds, or they might be in a brighter, louder areas of the plane, such as across from the bathroom or galley. Once you've decided on a flight, but before you've chosen your seats, check Seat Guru, a website that offers its own analysis of how much legroom and recline each seat offers. This site might also alert you to any undesirable attributes. And unfortunately, with that, we've just about run out of time for today's broadcast of the Reader's Digest of Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time when we'll finish this article about air travel. There's quite a bit more information. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. We would like to thank all of our past sponsors for their generous contributions to the Reading Service. If you have any comments or questions or would like to be a sponsor, please call us at 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service, and I'll be back on January 1st to celebrate 2019. So long until next time, and thanks so much for listening.